Our scripture reading is, our passage actually, is Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11. But as you can see on the outline that I've included there in your bulletin, this is the conclusion to a larger section in Philippians. And so for our scripture reading, I'll be reading Philippians 1, starting at verse 27, all the way through chapter 2, verse 11. Philippians 1, verse 27, all the way through chapter 2, verse 11. And let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place, and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Thus the reading of God's word this morning as it comes to us from the book of Philippians. In the letter to Philippians, the Apostle Paul is very concerned about the church for two very important reasons. First, he is concerned that the church in Philippi is beginning to wilt under the pressure and the opposition of the culture. As we have just read in verses 29 and 30, the apostle writes, "For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have." The second thing the apostle is concerned about is that the church members are beginning to fight with one another and argue with one another for selfish reasons. And so he writes in chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others." And so under the theme of conducting yourselves worthy of the gospel of Christ, verse 27 of chapter 1, the apostle begins to address these particular issues. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the first section on your outlines as the apostle writes as to how they are to stand up to the culture that is opposed to Christ. Last week, we looked at the second part of our outline, as to how the people are to conduct themselves worthy of the gospel as they interact with one another in the church of Jesus Christ. And now as we come to the third point, verses 5 through 11 of Philippians chapter 2, we have come to the grand finale of our text. The apostle has been writing these various things to the church in Philippi, so that they will seek to understand, to live their lives worthy of the gospel of Christ. But how can they live in such a way? How can they stand up to the fierce opposition that is before them? How can they begin to do not what their nature desires of them in not looking out for themselves, but as their sinful nature does, looking out for themselves and not others? What will give them the strength and the ability to live in such a way? Well, that's where the apostle has been driving them and driving us. For in verses 5 through 11 of Philippians chapter 2, the apostle explains to us and to the Philippians how it is possible to live this way. How these things are to be accomplished in the Christian life and in their lives as they follow Christ here upon this earth. As we look at verse 5 of our text, we see that it is a transitional verse. Notice the wording of it. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Your attitude, what is he referring to? Your mindset, some of your translations have. What is he referring to? He's referring to what he has already said before. Their mindset has been thoughts of themselves. They have been discouraged by the opposition of the gospel. They have been following their own ways and not considering others better than themselves. Well, what must be their mindset? What must be their attitude? Verse 5, it should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Now, the NIV has worded it in a certain way that perhaps someone might read these verses and look at them from the perspective of Christ's example. You see, there are people who interpret these verses and look at verse 5 and they say, well, look, the apostle is telling us that what we must do is look to Christ as our example and be like him. A message centered around and how Christians need to be like Christ as they read what he has done in verses 6 through 11. But the other translations that perhaps you have, the NRSV or the King James Version, word it much better and much more faithful to the Greek. Have this attitude among yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Do you see the difference in looking at these verses and the way they are translated? One puts the focus on Christ's example. The other puts the focus on our union in Christ Jesus. You see, the Philippians belong to Christ Jesus. They have testified that they belong to him and that he is their Savior. And Christ Jesus has gone on before them. He has prepared the way for them to have this attitude in which they should live. He has lived this life before them. He has experienced the same things that they have experienced. And because they belong to him, they must be imitators of him. They must live as their Savior has lived. God is not giving them works to do. Look at Christ and his example and be the same. God is telling them that Christ has already accomplished this. The Lord Jesus has gone before them, has accomplished these things. And as they belong to him, in their union with him, their mindset and their attitude should be the same. For he is their Savior, and they belong to him. And so what is this attitude, this mindset that they must have, that God's people must have, as they belong to Christ Jesus? Well, look at verse 6. Who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. Now, the other translations have, who being in the very form of God, and at this point, I like the NIV better. Who being in the very nature God. He was by nature and is by nature God. Fully God before he came down into this world. Fully God before he was born to the Virgin Mary. He being the very nature of God Almighty, the second person of the Trinity, was God. But he did not, verse 6, consider equality with God something to be grasped. He did not look down from heaven and say, look at those humans down there. I want no part of them. I am God, the second person of the Trinity. There's no reason for me to go down to this earth. There's no reason for my own interests, for my own selfish ambition, for me to go down to earth and to suffer. I'll just stay in heaven as the second person of the Trinity, where I have the full nature of God credited to me. No, it says, he being the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to hold on to, something that he desired not to give up. But instead, verse 7, he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness. Now, there are some who read this particular passage, verse 7, that when it says he made himself nothing, some of the translations use, he emptied himself. Some of the people have concluded that what Paul is saying here is that Jesus ceased to be God. He emptied himself of all his godliness, of his godly nature, and became a human man. That is a heretical view, and it is a view which is called kenosis theory. But if you look closely at our text, you will see that this is not what the apostle is saying. Jesus made himself nothing, second part of verse 7, taking the very nature of a servant. The very nature or the form of a servant. The same Greek word that he has used to describe the nature of God. He had the full nature of God, and when he came to this earth, he took the full nature of a servant, of a man. Fully God and fully man was the Lord Jesus Christ. So great did he humble himself, so great did he take upon the human likeness, that he came down to this earth as fully God and submitted himself as a servant. Now notice, he does not come and the wording here is not to say, well, he came as a king who sat on the throne in Rome and ruled the world. No, he became a servant. The lowest of all forms. Someone who was required to obey his master. The Lord Jesus Christ came as a servant, obeying the divine decrees that God had ordained for him. He did not complain of his servanthood. He did not question God's plan for his life or the things that he experienced, the oppression or the selfishness around him, even of the disciples, his very own people. But he came as a servant to serve others. That's why we read of Christ coming and washing his disciples' feet. A servant being made in human likeness. And not only did he come as a servant, but it tells us in verse 8 that being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. He took on the appearance of a man. God came to earth in the appearance of a man. And he humbled himself, and in his obedience, even to death, death on a cross. The worst kind of death that anyone could possibly imagine in that time period. Death on a cross was humiliation. Death on a cross through the crucifixion was the worst possible punishment that any Roman authorities could ever declare or put upon a person. Death on a cross was what he suffered in his obedience, in his humility, and in his suffering on this earth. Jesus Christ, the very nature God, came down to this earth and suffered and died for his people. Why did he volunteer for such a thing? Why would he give himself up in this particular way, the way he has? He who had the nature of God, who could have received all the glory for himself as he was, the very nature God. The reason he gave himself is because he loved his people. Because he loved the Philippians. Because he loved you. That is why he came. That is why he suffered. That is why he died. And so, as the Philippians are reading this and thinking about this, how can they, who belong to Jesus Christ and are in union with him, be filled with selfish ambition? Think only of their own interests and not the interests of others. Refuse to humble themselves and consider others better than themselves. If anybody had a right to live in such a way, it was the Lord Jesus. He was fully God, but he did not hold on to his nature with God. He came down to this earth and became a servant. He came down to this earth and died on the cross. He came down to this earth and suffered of all these things as fully God and fully man to provide the salvation for his people. He volunteered for this task as he came down to this earth because he loved his people. How then, knowing this, how then can someone look out for their own interests and not the interests of others when Christ Jesus considered your interests better than his? How then can a Christian consider themselves better than someone else when the Lord Jesus Christ did not consider himself better than you? How can a Christian be filled with selfish ambition and vain conceit when the Lord Jesus Christ had no selfish ambition but gave himself for you? As Paul is writing of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done, the Philippians and Christ's church are humbled. Humbled as to his humble nature. Humbled as to what he has done and what he has accomplished. And we are reminded that how can we have such a mindset when his was for us? And not only does the apostle write of his humility, but there's the issue of his oppression. Here we have read how the Philippians are wilting under the oppression, how the pressure of the culture has come upon them, and they are wondering if they can stand it any longer and whether they will continue in their commitment to Jesus Christ. And here the apostle has written of Jesus, who has suffered and died on the cross, the worst form of punishment and death possible in the Roman world. He stood up for them. Won't they stand up for him? As Paul writes these words, he is reminding the people of what the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished. He is reminding them that as they suffer for him, as they experience selflessness in the church, not selfishness, they do that for his glory and for his kingdom. as they identify with his attitude, as their attitude is his, as they imitate him, not only do they share in his glory, not only do they share in his suffering, not only do they share in his death, but they share in his glory. Look at verse 9. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. Because of what the Lord Jesus has volunteered to do, because of the life he lived, the submission he showed, the obedience he demonstrated, the death that he died, God has glorified him to the highest place. And all those who identify with him, who share in this suffering, in this obedience, and in this death of Christ Jesus, are also glorified and exalted with him. As Christ is in the highest place, so those who belong to him are in the highest place. As his name is the greatest name in all the world and universe, so those who believe in his name and have union with him and his name are above every name in the universe. And so the apostle writes in verses 10 and 11, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You see, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, every knee will bow to him. Not just the Christians. Every knee in heaven and on earth will bow to him and confess his name, that he is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Even those who do not love him upon this earth will submit to him and acknowledge to him as Lord before their eternal state comes about. But even now, as we serve Christ, before his return, we participate in this manner. For as at the end of the world every knee will bow, so as we gather to worship, we bow and worship. As every tongue will someday confess that Christ Jesus is Lord, so do we gather this morning and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We experience these things even now, before the final day, because we know and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. We acknowledge that he is in the highest place through his death and resurrection. We acknowledge that he rules on the throne. And even now, before his return, and everything is revealed and made plain, we acknowledge and do these very things that someday will be done throughout all the world. And so, as the apostle writes of their attitude, of their mindset, he is reminding them of the way that the Lord Jesus Christ has prepared, of the way he has lived, of the obedience that he has experienced on behalf of them, of the death he has experienced on behalf of them, of the glory he has now received. This should be the mindset of every Christian. This should be the mindset of all those who experience union with Jesus Christ, that even now on this earth, we live for him and confess his name to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this glorious passage in Philippians, which reminds us of our Savior, of how he humbled himself for us, of how, Lord, he came down to this world taking the form of man, who gave himself for us so that we may know and experience salvation. Lord, we thank you for him, for because of his love, we have hope and a future. And Lord, we pray that you would help us as your people to have this mindset amongst ourselves, that, Lord, we would not wilt under the oppression of those who do not love you. That, Lord, as we interact with each other as church members, as husbands and wives, as siblings, we would demonstrate the love that Christ has poured out for us, that our own interests would not take priority, but the interests of others would have priority over our own. We know, Father, that in our own strength, this is not possible. But because we belong to Jesus, because he is our Lord, because he is glorified on the throne, we confess that through him, this may be accomplished by his power alone. We pray all these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.